U.S. and Iraqi troops have sealed off the city of Fallujah for more than 24 hours. They have blocked roads and dug trenches in preparation for an operation to find insurgents after four American civilians were killed and mutilated there last week. Commentator Stacey Gilbert has had to face the consequences of violence in Iraq. She's an American working with displaced Kurds in the city of Erbil in the northern part of the country. Erbil was the scene of a devastating attack earlier this year. More than 100 people, including many Kurdish leaders, were killed in two simultaneous bombings. Gilbert knew many of the dead.
Are You Okay is the Iraqi equivalent of the Maidum computer virus, a warning on your screen that something bad has happened. Until recently, I had never been the recipient of the dreaded Are You Okay email. It came from a colleague in Baghdad and brought news of the twin suicide bombings in Erbil, just a few miles from my office in the largely Kurdish area of northern Iraq. I ran out to find my Kurdish colleagues who were huddled around a radio. We quickly accounted for our staff, and then we waited. The fragile phone system had shut down. We couldn't drive to the site for fear of a secondary attack. I sent out a feeble email to family and friends with the subject line, I'm okay, and hoped my siblings would get it before my mother saw the news. Hour by hour and one by one, I learned the names of the dead, people I've worked with, people who have worked for Iraq. The news was more terrible because these weren't just officials I've met in government offices. They were people who've showed me unconditional hospitality, not because I'm American, but because they are Kurdish. One of those who died was the governor of Erbil. In the past several months, we met regularly to discuss the needs of thousands of displaced families in the region. I remembered one night when I stopped with colleagues at a popular outdoor restaurant. The governor was there with his extended family, enjoying a mild autumn evening. He was overjoyed to see me and acted as if the celebration could begin now that the guests of honor had arrived. Everyone shifted chairs so we could sit next to him at the head of the table, although we were caked with mud from our field visits. I had scarcely finished a kebab when I was pulled out of my seat by the governor's teenage nieces. We joined the long, snaking line dance that inevitably forms whenever Kurds gather and music is played. The governor joined us, earnestly coaching me on the dance steps. Every meeting with him after that began with a hopeful inquiry about the development of my Kurdish dancing skills and an invitation to visit his village, where he assured me I would learn to dance like a real Kurd. After the bombings, my colleagues and I went to the regional government building to formally express our condolences to local leaders. After a few words of regret, the gathering fell quiet, except for the clink of tiny spoons in tulip-shaped glasses of tea and a few deep, weary sighs. In any other meeting, the long silence would have felt awkward. But here it was comforting, common acknowledgement that grief was inexpressible and needed no translation. My oasis of safety in Erbil has been rocked by those twin suicide bombs. Since then, I've become more cautious. I used to drive around northern Iraq, admiring the breathtaking scenery during my field visits. Now I watch the pavement for roadside bombs and scan the horizon for rocket-propelled grenades. I've become much more fearful for my Iraqi colleagues and more conscious of their courage during these tumultuous times. But I'm reminded of a Kurdish saying, "The bullet that doesn't kill makes you stronger." There's certain to be more pain and heartache in the days ahead. But ultimately, incidents like this will only strengthen the Kurds' resolve to heal, unite, and be stronger.
The comments of Stacey Gilbert, advisor for displaced persons for the Coalition Provisional Authority in Erbil, Iraq.